for our great city of Los Angeles. Please know that KPFK is committed to keeping you both informed and safe. You can visit the station's website, kpfk.org, for trusted resources, timely updates, and essential information. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, although lately that has not been the case. There is a lot of destruction on our beautiful roads up in Southern California. We nonetheless welcome you to this isolated safe haven of automotive enthusiasm, the Car Show. Broadcasting every Saturday here on 90.7 KPFK FM for over 50 years. And it's broadcasting because the brave firefighters stopped the flames reaching the KPFK transmitter on top of Mount Wilson just a couple of weeks ago. The transmitter that so many of you helped restore with your generous donations. Thank you for that. There was a glitch last week, and we were not broadcasting last week on Saturday's show. If in case you were, unless you were listening to kpfk.org, there was dead air. That show will be replayed at a later date. It was a great interview of racing writer Pete Lyons and his new book, My Life on Racer Road. So look for that show again at a future date. For now, our hearts go out to everyone who is still hurting from all this devastation, and we wish you all the best, whatever your struggle may be in this trying time. We're here to offer you a little respite from your troubles and a chance to talk about one of your favorite topics for 58 minutes, cars. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com, and I'm here to help take you on a drive for the next hour. I am joined this week and every week by a radio veteran, our Orange County Bureau Chief, a practicing attorney, a member of the Motor Press Guild, a big Joseph Newgarden fan. Watch out, Joseph. You never know. She might be out there right now. And the owner of two Mazdas, a Miata and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. I'm glad to hear that you're doing well and that the show can go on for this
week. Yeah, the fires did not get the Lancia, which is kind of too bad, but that's okay. We shouldn't joke about that. A lot of people are out there hurting, and we're going to talk about cars. Right, first, we've got, as usual, we can't list all the car events going on here in Southern California, but there is an excellent website that lists all kinds of cruise-ins, rod runs, everything else. SoCalCarCulture.com has got something going on, several items on the weekends every day, something just about every other day of the week. Well worth checking that out. SoCalCarCulture.com. We don't get anything from them, but it's a great source for information. So now we're going to start out this week. This is like the Johnny Carson show here. We have not one, but two guests. And we're going to start out by introducing the very first guest. We welcome a semi-regular and longtime friend of the car show, John Buck. John, welcome.
Thank you, Mark. It's good to be here. Michelle, it's good to meet with you too.
Now, John, as you know, is the proprietor and operator of the Grand National Roadster Show, the granddaddy of them all, one of the greatest, okay, the greatest hot rod show in the world, as far as I know. I mean, I'm not here to pass judgment on Detroit, but look at those cars, man. Okay, look at them and look at the cars we have out here. I'm just saying, all right? I'm not here to foment discord, but John, what do we have coming up? We've got I assume another great show.
You know, it's going to be the greatest of them all. It's the 75th anniversary of the Grand National Roadster Show, which is the longest running indoor car show in the world. So yeah, we surpassed Detroit in years in quality here in Southern California. We just have so much talent in California in general. And cars and builders and celebrities that are in the car world. And they're all going to be converging on the Grand National Roadster Show the 31st through the 2nd. So next weekend, we're really excited about it.
Now you've got usually they're at the Pomona Fairplex on McKinley in Pomona. You've got, I think, 9 halls full of cool cars and you even fill up the space in between. Is that still going on this year?
That's still going on. We call that the drive-in. It's in our 20th year of the drive-in, so we're really excited about that. We'll have over 1,000 cars parked between the buildings, and they're part of the show. And it's a great way to save on you know, $20 parking rate at the Fairplex. Just bring your hot rod and custom car and drive right in. So it's a great time. Our feature building this year is the 75th anniversary. We have over 50 past America's Most Beautiful Roadsters and Slonker cars coming back in that room. It's going to be a reverent hall. We have 14. It's George Barris's would be his 100th birthday as well. So we've got 14 George Barris cars, the Batmobile, the Munster Coach, the Dragula, just the list goes on and on. And Joji Barris, his daughter, will be there. And we've got some other surprises. Chip Foose will be in the room signing a poster that he's doing to commemorate the 75th anniversary. And then we'll have all of our Hall of Fame members there on Friday signing autographs as well before they go to the Hall of Fame dinner on Friday night. So it's going to be a really great show.
Some big names. Tell us about every year usually there are 12 entries for America's Most Beautiful Roadster. That is, it doesn't have to be a 32. It doesn't have to be a Ford. A lot of them are. But what can you tell us anything about who has entered this year for that competition?
Absolutely. So we've got 11 contenders. We had 12, but one, the interior wasn't going to be ready to go.
Bring the Lancia out.
There you go. Time.
It's
got to be a roadster. It's got to have, you know,
I'll chop the top.
Okay, there you go.
Then I could bring the Miata.
The problem with the Miata is it's got side glass, so that's really a convertible, not a roadster.
That's what hammers are for.
You're killing me, John.
So we've got
32s, 31s, 36s, and a 23 Ford T. We've got a great array of hot rods that are going to be there, and some big names. Ross Myers on the East Coast, John Mumford on the West Coast here, that have really gone above and beyond to be there.
John's a previous winner. He's, of course, up from South San Francisco.
Right.
A big wheel in hot rod building. Is Brizio entering anything in the Amber?
The Mumford car, yeah. And Ross Myers
built that one, right.
Yeah, Ross Myers' wife, if you remember last year, won. It was a Brizio build. It was a Phaeton. Right. Black Phaeton with flames on that. It was pretty cool.
Ah, good. So that's just the 12 there. And then you mentioned the historical cars from the 50 cars of the past Amber winners. Are they going to be in the same hall there? That's what is that, Hall 4?
Yeah, Hall 4 is the main hall where you'll find this year's America's Most Beautiful Contenders. Building 9 is our feature room, and that's the first room when you come under the tunnel, and that'll be where all of these, the George Barris and the previous 54 cars will be located. Then we've got in Building 6 the Slonecker cars, and those are anything that's not a roadster, like the Miata, can compete in that category. And they're competing for $12,500 cash prize, plus their name on a perpetual trophy sponsored by ARP. So it's a pretty big deal. We've got some great selection of vehicles, everything from a 33 Plymouth sedan and a 35 International pickup, Ford F-100 Plymouth Roadrunner, Ford Fairlane, a Pantera from 73, and even a Volkswagen Thing going for it. So it's kind of neat to see the variety of vehicles.
The Slonecker Award, of course, Al Slonecker, Al and Mary Slonecker were founders of the Roadster Show when it was in Oakland, and old timers still call it the Oakland Roadster Show. I think that's fine to say Oakland Roadster Show. In fact, I think I'm going to print up some T-shirts and sell them there, Oakland Roadster Show. And they started the show just by going out to the Circle Drive-In in Oakland and gathered up there. That's where the Hot Rodders used to hang out.
Yep.
And Mary got out wearing a fur coat. I still remember this story because I wrote about it, I think, for the 50th anniversary. Mary got out and said, how would you boys like to come and show your cars at a new show we're starting? And that's where it got started 75 years ago. So the Slonecker Award is kind of, I think, and you can correct me on this, John, if I'm wrong, you're trying to make it almost an equal in prestige to the Amber Award, America's Most Beautiful Roadster. Is that right?
That is correct. And quite frankly, with a $12,500 cash prize, ARP has told everybody we're beating up the Riddler Award, which is our friendly competitor in Detroit. So, you know, you got to make a decision. Are you going to go to Detroit and compete for $10,000 and, or are you going to come to California and compete for $12,500 and be on this really awesome,
I mean,
really awesome, $25,000 trophy paid for this big, huge piece of billet, you know? It's
yeah. I mean, these cars cost like more than $1 million to put together.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it's, I don't know, $12,500. I guess that would pay for like one guy's hotel room for, well,
or a lug nut
team, or a lug nut, a chromed lug nut. Yeah.
There you go.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. So people will go in and they'll park in the White Avenue lot, right?
Correct.
And there's a lot of parking there. Never have a problem getting there. There's even a little tram that will take you if you don't want to walk, but you're going to be doing a lot of walking, so you'll be in good shape. And they'll take you under White Avenue and into the show. And right there, right off the bat, you start seeing great cars. Always, when I come out of that tunnel, if I come that way, well, actually, I sneak in the other way without paying. Don't tell anybody. But right when you come out of the tunnel under White Avenue, on the right-hand side, there's always some really cool, what would you call them, customs, like 58 Chevrolets and cars like that. What would you say? They're not hot rods. They're customs.
Classic.
Traditional rod and customs. Yeah.
Traditional rod and customs.
Yes.
Excellent. Always an excellent grouping there. Just past that is Building 9, full of, it used to be for the younger people, it used to be called the Suede Palace. I don't know if it still is.
Yeah, Building 10, we still call it the Suede Palace. And we are going to have James Infield there this year, who's a huge rockabilly artist. And people are going nuts to see him. He hasn't been out into the show in about 10 years. He's very famous rock. So they blow the roof off that building. They, you know, that culture is so cool. You know, they've got the slick back hairdo and the rolled up sleeves, the jeans on, and the girls are in pencil skirts. And it's just neat to see. It's definitely a throwback to the 40s and the 50s.
A lot of cool enthusiasm there. And then you just keep wandering around and all those halls are full of so many cool cars. And if you go on, I think it's Saturday and Sunday is when the cruise in is, right?
Yeah, it's actually Friday, Saturday, and Sunday now.
Oh, all 3 days this time.
Do all 3 days, yeah.
Excellent.
Pretty neat.
Excellent. So people can get there, you can see it Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. It starts a little bit later on Friday, if I'm not mistaken, right?
We've changed our hours, so it's actually a little bit earlier now. It's 10 to 6, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 10 to 6, 10 to 6, 10 to 6. So we're taking away a little bit on date night, but we've just found that most people want to get out and go to dinner. So we making it a little bit earlier. Awards are at 4 o'clock on Sunday, and that's when the big awards will be announced and all of the class winners. So if you've got a favorite, come out and see it on Sunday. It's a nice day to get there. It's not as busy. Saturday obviously is our busiest day, but it's great all 3 days.
Okay. Excellent. It's a great show. How much does it cost to park? How much does it cost to get in, and where can people get tickets?
Okay, you can get tickets, a discount ticket at O'Reilly Auto Parts for $35. It costs $20 to park at the Fairplex. And like I said, get there a little bit early. Show opens at 10 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. It will take you from 10 to 6 to see everything. It's a big show.
If you go on Friday, the crowds won't be quite as big, right? But are you thinking about weather at all?
No. This weekend, it's going to be wet. Our weekend, it's going to be
perfect sunny.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost always been beautiful weather. Once or twice there was like on a Saturday there'd be some rain, but it's
we had torrential downpour. If you remember, Mark, on Sunday last year, it was like we couldn't get the cars out of the buildings because it was so wet. So we knocking on wood over here will be perfect.
All right,
we're due.
All right, good.
We're due.
Well, that's John Buck, owner and operator, proprietor of America's Most Beautiful Roadster Show Trophy and the Grand National Roadster Show, which will be in not this weekend, next weekend, right, John?
That's correct.
The Fairplex in Pomona.
January 31st through February 2nd. We look forward to having everybody out.
Okay. Thank you for being on the show, John. Always good to hear from you, and all the best for another terrific show.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Michelle. We'll see you guys soon.
All righty. Bye.
All right.
Bye now.
Well, like I said at the beginning of the show, this is almost like the Johnny Carson Show. We are just full of special guests this year. I like having guests because I don't have to talk as much. So this time we have Michelle. Why don't you introduce them? Because you're a fan of this location.
Oh yeah, definitely. I am a devotee, to put it bluntly. So today we have Don Kazarian. He's the promoter at Paris Auto Speedway, and we are so happy to have him with us to talk about the season opener. When's that coming up, Don?
It's coming up. First, I want to thank you, Mark and Michelle, for having me on. It's a great pleasure to be here. Well, we're getting ready to launch our 29th year out of Paris in 3 weeks from this Saturday on February 15th, and we'll be featuring the it's the Avante USAC CRA Sprint Cars. And they'll be headlining the show with our Super Stocks and our Street Stocks and our American Factory Stocks. Plus, we've got our past senior sprint car drivers and our past young guns. So it's going to be a busy night at the pass.
How many cars do you think will be out there? Do you have an idea?
My guess right now, total cars, it's going to be pushing probably 80 cars.
That's a great show. Yeah. And the gates open. When do the gates open? And when should people get out there?
Front gates open at 5. First race is at 6:30. You know, parking lot opens up at 3. You can go out and tailgate and have a good old time. Right now, the weather looks fantastic for our opener. And keep the rain clouds away. And it's going to be a great, great night.
The weather will be fantastic, both for the Grand National Roadster Show and for the Paris Auto Speedway. Now, folks, this is not Paris, France. Don't get confused. Do not charter the private jet and fly across the Atlantic. This is Paris, P-E-R-R-I-S, in the beautiful Inland Empire. Many people have made that mistake. They get out, you know, où est le track du race?
No,
and
they don't.
Just look at them.
It's
embarrassing. So P-E-R-R-I-S, right, Don?
It's off the 215.
Exactly. I got to tell you a short story. I was coaching one of my daughter's soccer teams, and I kept telling my kids I was coming in from Paris all the time, and one of the little seven-year-olds looked at me and said, "How do you fly here so fast?" You know, so, I mean, yes, you are right. So anyway.
You know, at one time in my life, this was actually the high point of my life, I had on my weather app both Paris, France, and Paris, California. It was, you can't beat that.
Interesting.
It doesn't get better.
Yeah, well, you know, We've got an aggressive schedule this year. You know, we're on our 29th year. I would have never thought I'd still be here since 1996. But, you know, we're bringing in Kyle Larson's High Limit, you know, Sprint Car Series for the first time. That's going to be on March 22nd. I think that's going to be a huge event. Tickets went on sale this week. They are selling like hotcakes. You can get them at highlimitracing.com. And the World of Outlaws will be making their appearance back at Paris this year. We actually took a pass on them last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was told by a high exec in the World of Outlaws, nobody passes on a World of Outlaw date. And I said bluntly, I am, because we couldn't come to terms on a contract. So we came to terms early this year in October, and we've got a great date on September 13th. So you're going to be able to see the best sprint car guys in the nation, you know, just putting on one heck of a show.
Where can people find out the full season schedule? You guys, I assume, have a website.
Oh, yeah. Schedule's up. It's on parisautospeedway.com. It's been up since December, early December. And we are racing basically from middle of February to the first week of November.
Is that every weekend?
No, we've only got 24 races this year. The days of running short tracks with 43 to 45 events like we used to, I don't think they're ever going to come back. You know, you have to adjust to the market, number one. Number two, you know, coming out of COVID, it hasn't been all that rosy. But the last couple of years, it's been better. And this year, we're looking for a great year.
Along those lines, we are all saddened to hear of, and we've discussed it here at length on the show, the closing of Irwindale. How has that affected you guys out there at Paris?
You know, it's too early to tell. I know of about 5 or 6 new stock cars that are coming out. I don't know yet if they're pavement guys that are going to convert to dirt. We've had a lot of practices this year in the off season. I've got a whole new group of guys coming out in another week. So I think it's going to help us. I really do. I don't know so much on the open wheel as far as race fans are concerned, because they didn't run too many open wheel shows over there. I think it'll help us a little bit on our stock cars. It's definitely going to help us on our night of destruction nights, which is the, you know, craziest show on dirt.
And, that's Michelle's favorite.
Yeah, I always, he didn't know about them, and I had to educate him. I said, yeah, they convert the whole infield into the figure eight, and the trailers. Oh gosh,
the whole infield. How do you avoid hitting the snack shack?
We put K rail around it and around all the light poles and big tires, and it's never been hit. But it is the craziest show on dirt. The double deckers, you will not see a more fun race with eight cars, but they're actually four cars because they're welded on top of each other. And the guy up on top steers, and the guy down below runs the throttle and brake.
What could possibly go wrong with that setup?
Oh, what could possibly go wrong? Yeah. They can flip very quickly too.
All right. So Mark, we need to do this.
Yeah, we got to get some sponsorship, get two cars together and find somebody who can weld. And you want to be a steering or throttle, Michelle?
Throttle. Come on.
Oh, goodness. I'm too old for that.
I heard that you're going to do the Southern California Quarter Midgets. You gave them their new home since they got kicked out of Irwindale.
Yes, that was a long discussion, but we made the announcement last week, and I want to thank the fairgrounds for allowing us to bring them in. I think they have 8 races on their schedule and 4 or 5 practices. They'll actually be running the day of our events, and will be concluded no later than 3:00. So hopefully those kids will stick around, because a lot of those kids want to ultimately get into a sprint car.
Right. I mean, what a great setup for everybody.
I mean, it was pretty cool. They were setting up the walls yesterday, and I walked out and looked at it, and you're overlooking the quarter midget track, and you're seeing turn 3 and 4 on the big track, and everything's getting painted up for the opener, and the place is starting to look brand new again.
Oh, so great.
Yeah, and if you're just joining us, we have with us Don Kazarian, promoter at Paris Auto Speedway. You can find out everything you want to know there at parisautospeedway.com, and spell Paris, P-E-R-R-I-S, Paris Auto Speedway. They've got everything on dirt. It's a half-mile clay oval, half-mile banked clay oval, and it's just a great night of racing. So, Don, I can't thank you enough for joining us. Hopefully we'll have you on again throughout the year, because you guys have a lot going on out at Paris Auto Speedway. It's a great facility. It's got there's actually cement. It's not like the old Riverside or Ascot. You walk around on cement instead of in mud. There are no spiders in the bathrooms like there used to be at Riverside. It's clean. It's got a great sound system. It's got lights. It's got comfortable seats. All the hot dogs you can order.
And sometimes fireworks afterwards.
Sometimes fireworks. I used to cover the Turkey Night Grand Prix, and I ate a lot of Thanksgiving chili dogs and what do you call it? Corn dogs.
Corn dogs
out there on Thanksgiving. So it's a good time. A good time will be had by all. So Don, tell us once again the opening night and where people can get tickets for it.
February 15th, front gates open at 5. You can get advanced tickets at tix.com or go to our website, parisautospeedway.com, and click on the ticket icon.
All right, great. Thank you so much again, Don, for joining us. Appreciate having you on, and look forward to having you throughout the year as more stuff happens out at Paris Auto Speedway.
Thank you again, and I look forward to being with you guys soon.
All right, very good. Bye, Don. There he goes. You just clicked a button and he's gone. So,
you go. Those are the two big events coming up in Southern California. You've got it.
That was fun. That was fun having the real guys on, you know, guys straight from the show.
That's right. Cause you didn't believe me when I told you about these double deckers and all this stuff going on out there.
I think I saw him on one of those European shows. I don't know. What was it? It was one of those imitators of, okay, let's not go down a rabbit hole.
Where
so
are we going
easy.
Next? We have news, right?
So easy to go down.
We have a lot of news items.
We have a lot. What do you want to start with?
Oh, boy.
Let's see. We're going to go down. Okay, we already told you. Oh, wait, we have more coming up. Kevin Harvick's Kern Raceway, Soundgear 400 weekend. Michelle, is that still going on?
It is. Yes, it is. This is
the season opener. As you know, they closed down Irwindale. Sadly, RIP. We still, Michelle and I both have black armbands on because of that closure. But the guys who ran Irwindale Speedway moved up north, and they are now running what is called Kevin Harvick's Kern Raceway. So what's up there? Where's the season? When's the season opener, and what is it?
You know, why did I not put the? Oh, it's tonight.
It's tonight. That's right. So you
January
can still make
25th.
It up.
Yeah, it's SoundGear 400 weekend.
That's right.
So the opening ceremony start at 1:00. All right. So that already
1:00 in the afternoon, right?
But the problem is on their website they didn't say when the racing actually starts. So. Oh.
Well, but they did say what the lineup will be.
Yeah, they've got their Spears Cars Tour West, which are super late models and limited pro late models. They've got Legends Tour West and Arca Menard Series West season kickoffs, which are the stock cars. They've got the Mayhem Machine, and then they have some finale fireworks going on tonight. And for the first time, this is new, Kevin Harvick, who, by the way, happens to be a NASCAR Cup champion, is going to jump in and race a super late model. So that's going to be fun to see. If you want to go up there, it's in Bakersfield at 13500 Raceway Boulevard.
Is that the one that's just right off of Highway 99?
Yes, it is.
That's a nice looking facility.
Yeah. $15 for kids up to age 12, $20 to get in if you're 13 and up.
And all right.
So you can buy it at the gate, but you can also go to kernraceway.com.
And so, it's about a 2-hour drive?
Yeah, if that. Yeah, if that. About and, you know, I'm assuming all the roads are going to be clear. So, you know, check your schedules, check your traffic.
Yeah, there is see if yet another fire up that way. But I understand that the 5 check,
was open.
Again, check with Caltrans before you go.
But before you go, because it was open as of Thursday night. They had it reopened. So
let's hope and pray that all goes through and everything is okay up there. We've certainly had enough fires. I think we're done with fires for a while. I don't think it's really necessary to have any more. So please, no more fires. Today, actually, Kevin Harvick's Kern Raceway SoundGear 400 weekend at the Kevin Harvick Raceway up there. Track address 13500 Raceway Boulevard in Bakersfield. Literally right on Highway 99. So, and it's only $20. It's a great thing to do with the family. Bring the kids up, show, teach them about oversteer and understeer. It's educational.
It's physics.
It's physics, baby. And that raceway is paved, right? So
the
Paris Auto Speedway is clay, which can be really, really slick, and pavement, which can also be really slick depending on how you're driving.
Yeah. So now that Irwindale's closed, this is it, folks. If you want your asphalt racing, you got to go up to Bakersfield.
All right. If you don't want to leave town, you can go. Peterson has a cruise in on Sunday, January 26th, in support of first responders. That's tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. They will host a charity cruise in to thank first responders and support recovery efforts for the devastating Southern California fires. In partnership with Clarios and Optima Batteries, proceeds raised from the cruise-in will benefit the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank, the Los Angeles Fire Department Foundation, and the LAPD West Bureau. In addition, the American Red Cross will be on hand with an information booth and blood donation center. So that will weed out the week if you can actually go there and give some blood.
So
I was thinking of just putting a Band-Aid on my forearm, and they call that stolen valor.
That's it. And then you can go try and sneak a bagel, which they will have there. They have complimentary bagels.
A free bagel.
They will have bagels.
For more information, go to peterson.org. That's all E's in Peterson, just like Pete Peterson, the publisher. Try saying that 20 times. That's the Peterson Automotive Museum on Wilshire and Fairfax. Wilshire and Fairfax.
Correct.
8 a.m. to 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. Sunday, January 26th. Another big, this is all motorsports. This is, we're a half hour into the show and we're still talking motorsports. King of the Hammers, January 31st. You can, it goes from January 31st to February 8th. There are a ton of different events out there. They start out, the first several days are motorcycle events, and then they transition to the four-wheeled events. There's just a wide array of them. Too many to name here. But what they do is the main event called King of the Hammers. The Hammers are these trails out there that go up these crazy, insane gullies out in the desert, up these mountains, strewn with boulders the size of Volkswagens. And these guys have built these vehicles made just for doing that. It's something you really got to see. An entire city comes up out in the desert there. Johnson Valley, which is north of Big Bear, down in the desert, and an entire city. Last year, I think they were saying there were 100,000 people there. It's a huge party. The big event is on a Saturday. That's the actual King of the Hammers run. But there is stuff going on, starting, like I said, January 31st, all the way to February 8th. Go to kingofthehammers.com. And another one close. You want to talk Zuma, Michelle?
Oh, yeah. So two quick hit and runs for the South Bay for car meets. Zuma. I know it says Zuma, but it's in Redondo Beach.
Zuma,
I don't know why they call it this.
Zuma, maybe it started in Zuma. They got Zuma.
Oh, could be. Yes. And maybe they got, you know, evicted.
Let's not see. We don't know that.
Speculation.
Michelle, a lawyer, and you're saying, what is it, slander or libel?
It's speculation. It's slander.
You're slandering, potentially slandering them.
Don't spoon feed it to them. Come on.
When you're gonna sue us, it's Michelle Spencer you want.
Oh boy, here we go. Don't you want to know when it is?
Okay, when is it?
Sunday, February 2nd, 9 a.m. at 245 North Harbor Drive in Redondo. And then another one is first Saturday of every month. So the first Saturday of February, you can go to the Promenade PV Cars and Coffee in Rolling Hills Estates at 550 Deep Valley Drive, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. This is going to be February 1st, and this is at the top level of the Promenade parking structure off Indian Peak Road, okay?
Okay.
If you want info, go to promenadepv.com.
All right. That sounds good. That sounds like fun. Everybody you know in Palos Verdes will be up there. Our
friend
Brian Bergsteinson will be up there maybe. Who knows? You never know. You know what else is happening? The Rolex 24 at Daytona.
Oh, yes. This is a biggie. See, racing season's getting off to a good start.
That's right. The 24 Hours of Daytona, as it used to be called, is now called, since they got the Rolex sponsorship a long time ago, is now the Rolex 24 at Daytona, 63rd running of this event. Now, we don't expect you to drive to Daytona Beach in Florida just to watch this, because you can watch it on NBC, Peacock, and USA Network starting Thursday. Well, it already started. Thursday, January 23rd was qualifying. Which you can see on Peacock right now. Today, Saturday, January 25th, starting 1:30 p.m. is when the race starts, either at 1:30 or 2 o'clock, but the broadcast starts at 1:30 p.m. on NBC and Peacock. And then throughout the next 24 hours, they show it on various networks from 2:30 to 6:30. It's on USA Network and Peacock, and from 6:30 p.m. to 12 p.m. it's just on Peacock. And then Sunday, January 26th, the Rolex 24 at Daytona from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. it's back on NBC and on Peacock. That's a lot of fun. Uh-huh. It's quite an interesting race. So many different classes, such cool cars out there. I was looking at the lineup. Here it is. Somewhere here I have it.
Any Mazdas?
Well, remember they had that Mazda out there that raced in IMSA. Yeah. What do they call that one? Do you remember? There's no test. Okay.
It was blue and white.
It was blue and white. They've got three Porsche 963s, one done by Proton, one and two done by Penske Motorsport, that's going to be in the running. Cadillac has three. Then this is just a top tier, the GTP class. Cadillac has three V Series R race cars out there. BMW has two teams of M hybrid V8s. Acura will be there with the ARX-06. Lamborghini is in it with their SC63. And, oh, wait, I was wrong. There are four Porsche 963s out there and two Acuras. That's just in the GTP. And LMP2, you've got, how do you say Oreca? Oreca? Or I'm saying it wrong. That's in LMP2. There's a ton of entries in that category. Let's see. We're going down to, let's skip down to GT Daytona Pro. We've got BMW M4s, Corvette Z06s, Aston Martin Vantage, Lamborghini Huracan, Lexus RCF GT3, Porsche 911, Ford Mustangs, there's two of those, two Mercedes AMGs, a Ferrari 296 GT3, more Corvettes, more Lexi, more Ferraris. It's going to be, all these guys are going on the track at the same time with tremendous closing speeds.
Yeah,
for 24 hours, it's a lot of fun. So check out. You can check this this entry list out. I think it's IMSA.com has it.
I think so too. And I think I saw Joey Hand is going to be in one of the Ford GTs.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, there's some interesting names out here. Ricky Taylor, of course. I think he's a past champion. Kevin Magnussen is going to be driving. Alex Palou is going to be in there. I don't think that your guy Newgarden is there. I have not seen him.
No, he's not doing that one. I've been tracking. I've been tracking.
You've been tracking. Is it tracking or stalking? What is it called? Right, that is slanderous. I'm going to be sued by my co-host, who is a practicing attorney. All right, a couple more things. I mean, there's no reason that we can't go on and keep talking about stuff coming up. Lions Automobile Foundation, a very fine, would you call it a museum, a collection? It's a recreation of what Lions Drag Strip used to be. And it's also a recreation a bunch of other times back in the day. They're going to have three exciting new additions to their historic lineup of automobiles. It's going to be a Vic Edelbrock Sr.'s 32 Ford Roadster, the Edelbrock 46 Ford Woody station wagon, and the V860 equipped midget race car campaigned by Vic Edelbrock Sr. himself in the 1940s.
Wow.
These are all on loan to the Lions Museum by the Edelbrock family. They represent the most significant moments in the history of the Edelbrock brand. They say check out lionsautomobilia.org. Also, as long as we're talking about Lions, the museum's couples cruise. So, you know, there's nothing that your spouse is going to like better than telling her, baby, we're going to go out in the hot rod and go cruising. I'm sure your spouse, notice I'm saying spouse, non-sexist, non-pejorative. So this is February 15th, and they're going to do, it sounds like a really neat, really neat day. It starts out at the Segerstrom Center down in Michelle's neck of the woods, down in Orange County, goes to the Marconi Collection,
which is,
and finishes up at the Lions Museum
up in Dominguez Hills. Yeah.
So it's $60. Sounds like fun. Yeah. It's a great day. February 15th, go to lionsautomobilia.org. What do you think?
I might have to become a couple somehow before February 15th.
You know, maybe you'll meet somebody there. Just show up in the Miata. That's a roadster.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds really fun.
It does sound like a good, and those are great museum / collections. Yeah. So,
and talk about Southern California car culture. I mean, wow.
Yeah, it's all there.
Hats off to them for preserving all that history.
We if I had a hat, I would take it off to them. I would doff it, doff their hat. I don't think you can doff anything else but a hat.
Yeah, you don't.
All right. Well, one another couple of interesting things. This is Southern California's Hollywood, the headquarters of the entertainment industry all around the world. So we're going to do a couple of opportunities for you filmmakers out there. I wrote a story about this. There's a thing called the Auto Film Festa. It just ends in A. It's not festival. It's just Festa. You can find out about this at autofilmfesta.net. And they have basically put out a call for entries of car films that are 15 minutes or less. Original car films, 15 minutes or less. It's done by a group in Japan. It's created in Japan in 2023, and it's now entering its third judging and awards season. The International Auto Film Festa, as it's called, they are looking for new movies. And you can add this. I think the deadline, where the heck is the deadline? Do you see the deadline, Michelle? Through February 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can, so that's a lot of time. You can shoot something on your iPhone. I looked at some of the previous ones, and I'm telling you, if you want to have an award-winning film, as long as it's coherent and says something, goes somewhere, I think you could probably win this thing.
I'm going to have to blast this to our Seven Stock people, because they probably got some really fun video from Seven Stock.
Uh-huh.
Or yeah. That they might like it because it's Japanese, right?
Exactly. And the Japanese hosts will probably like it too. The judges, a lot of them are Japanese, so including the founder of the event. So I watched a few of these films. Like I said, I watched a lot of these films. I watched maybe half of them up on the website, maybe more. And I'm telling you, if you enter and there's any kind of a plot, anything at all that you have, you know, act one, act two, act three, you guys are all filmmakers in this audience. You know, you set up, you introduce the conflict, you resolve the conflict.
Right, right.
If you have those three, you will win this competition. So,
all right. So I can go say, hi, I'm in my Miata and I'm going to the store now.
Hey, I'll help you out.
Hi.
I'll help you out.
I'm in the vegetable aisle and we're going to pop the top to go home.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to write you a script.
The
script will be about you in the Miata at the Lions Automobilia Cruise.
Hey, there you go.
Looking for love, and I don't know. Yes. So some equally lonely guy in a 32 who, you know, he's still handsome, rich guy, and I don't know. Okay, we got to work on this. Maybe filmmaking is not that easy.
Maybe it isn't.
Maybe there's more to it.
Where do they send their entries if they have a good script and some good content?
Send your entries to autofilmfesta.net. autofilmfesta.net. Can't beat it. And that's not all. If you are a filmmaker and you want to make, the Overland Expo is having a film festival of their own. It's another opportunity for all you filmmakers out there. This is, like I say, Southern California is crawling with filmmakers. The New Year's brings another exciting season, they say, for the Overland Expo Film Festival. They're excited to announce the call for entries for their 11th season. I have not seen any of these movies, so I don't know. I'm assuming they're better than the Film Festa ones, because those were not good at all. The Film Festival features content created by both amateur and professional filmmakers in the overlanding community. So get your buddy with the Jeep and just drive out to Outlet Center Drive before you get to Barstow and just start filming. Maybe
there you go.
Maybe Michelle's Miata is broken down by the side of the road.
And, perfect.
And the rugged, handsome lumberjack pulls over. You need some help, ma'am? And, you know, there's this sparkle. Okay. Anyway, you can enter that film festival dates. They're going to have them all, three of them across the country. I wrote down two of them just because they're closer to us. Overland Expo West happens May 16th in Flagstaff, Arizona. Deadline to submit a film is March 14th. For that one, Overland Expo Pacific Northwest in Redmond, Oregon, June 27th. Deadline for that one is April 8th. And I think there's one for the East, but I figured, you know, those two are enough
Correction,
us.
April 18th for the PNW.
April 18th, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's the deadline to submit.
Yeah. Right.
That's for the Pacific Northwest, April 18th. But Overland Expo West is happening May 16th, and the deadline is for your film is March 14th. And yeah, so there you go. Expo Overland Expo Film Festival. And one more thing, sort of Hollywood related, is the SoCal car manufacturer Karma. Remember Karma?
Oh, yes.
This is not Fisker Karma. It is, you know, it was just one of Henrik Fisker's earlier endeavors.
Right.
It was resurrected by outside investors, and it's still going.
Yes.
And they are making, they're in the works. You know, I'm believing in them. I'm not going to say anything bad about anybody who's trying to make a car. It's a lot harder than trying to make a movie, 15-minute movie, that's for sure. There's a lot of parts that go into a car, like 6,000 of them. They all have to work every time.
And also all those laws, all those pesky rules and regulations.
That's right. There's a lot going into it. But anyway, this is a kind of a fun thing that happened with Karma. It got one of its cars featured in a big-time rap video. Singer-songwriter Chris Brown. Are you familiar with the work of Chris Brown, Michelle?
Well, yes, mostly on Rihanna.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. Okay. Chris Brown released his video for his song. I don't know if you call it a song. I'm so old and out of touch. What do the young people call these things?
Well, it's a single.
A single. There you go. Thank you, Michelle, who is younger than me. For his single, Residuals is the name of it. And the Karma Kaveya is featured prominently in the video for Residuals. Residuals is a single first released last spring, and now it's nominated by the 2025 Grammy Awards for Best R&B Performance. And Brown is also nominated for the Best R&B Album, 11 to 11 Deluxe, which includes this song. But the reason that we're saying this is that the Karma Kaveya is in it. And it's interesting, the Kaveya's inclusion in the video happened organically rather than through a paid product placement or endorsement. A former Karma Automotive team member now works on Chris's team, Chris Brown's team. And when they were looking for a car for the video, she suggested the Kaveya. I hope I'm saying that right, too. And the song lyrics include the word karma, and the song is about things coming full circle. See?
Ooh, so, I like it.
So he's in there, and I don't know, is it a spoiler alert to say that he crashes the car in the video?
Well, could you say it's hardly a surprise? You know?
Yeah, well, he doesn't really, I mean, there's just, it's obviously he didn't destroy the car, but it's, it does happen, and there's this afterlife kind of scene, and the girl shows up. Anyway. So
is Kaveya or Kaveya, whatever you know, pronouncing it.
You say Kaveya, I say Kaveya.
Kaveya.
Let's call the whole thing up.
Is this
just another musical reference? Isn't this great?
Is this just one of the karmas that's being produced, or I don't know anything about this Kaveya or Kaveya.
I keep hearing from the karma people, and they keep saying everything's great. Here's all these things we're gonna do. So I do not have an up to date state of the karma for you right now. But anyway, you can go to YouTube and look up Chris Brown Residuals, and you can see the car. So
nice.
What do you think about that? We have 10 minutes left in the show. What do you want to do, Michelle?
Well, don't you need to do a car review or two?
Let's do a car review. In fact, let's do a motorcycle review.
Oh,
what do you think?
Yes. What you got?
Okay. Two motorcycles. Both of them have 1250cc V-twins, adjustable suspensions, dual disc Brembos. Both cost about the same. In this case, $16,000, $17,000. The first one is the all-new 2025 Indian 101 Scout, and that just came out. Like they say, all new. It's got a new frame. It's got new engine, new everything. It rides in an all new steel tube frame that is lighter and stronger. It's powered by a redesigned liquid cooled Speed Plus 1250cc C twin. that features its own ECU tuning and puts out 111 horsepower and 82 pound-feet of torque. Fully adjustable suspension, dual disc Brembos, as I said. It looks very cool. When I was riding that thing around, I had it for a few weeks, and everybody who commented on it, as seems to be the case with every Indian I've ever ridden, they just loved it. People love mm-hmm. it. It looks really nice.
It does. Yeah. There's a guy in Irvine who has one that used to work at my old office building, and that was his daily driver, was his Indian Scout, and you could hear it come in. He parked it in the same place every day, and he had those super cool pouches on the side that are leather with the trim.
We
so
can work
cool.
that guy into the video that we're going to make. How about that? Did it have a back seat on it?
Oh,
like a second seat?
Oh, there's Let's a word for that, but I won't say it. But I'm not sure.
So at the same time that I had that bike, I had another 1250cc V-twin longitudinally mounted, although, you know, how do you determine longitudinal transverse mounting on a motorcycle? It's you know, fore and aft cylinders in a V configuration. So however you want to word that, it was the BMW R1250 9T, and it cost almost exactly the same. And yet it felt about 400 times better.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was, man, I would go, like, I go into these things with an open mind because I want to like everything.
Yes.
You know, I want to give everything the benefit of the doubt. And so I would ride the Indian, and then on the exact same route, I would hop off the Indian, hop onto the very similar BMW R1250 and take off. And as soon as I twisted the throttle and engaged the clutch, it was like motorcycle technology had suddenly leaped forward 100 years.
Wow.
It was a huge, huge difference. But now I seem to like BMW motorcycles a lot, so take that in mind, but I don't think it's a prejudice, because like I say, there's no reason for me to like or dislike anything. I just have them for a couple of weeks and then they go back. So it's not like I'm invested in them either emotionally or financially or anything. I mean, they even pay for my own gas here at Auto Week. They do. Thank you, Auto Week, for that.
Yes, very nice.
So I don't know. I there's something about the way a clutch engages on a BMW. I first noticed it. The very first BMW I drove was in the 80s in Europe, in Germany. And as soon as I engaged that clutch, it was like, wow, these guys really do this nicely. And the steering was great. And that same philosophy translates all the way through the decades up to now in this BMW R1250 9T that I had. It's gone back now. So,
well,
anyway.
How about the terms of just a couple different factors, like stability around curves and things like the smoothness of the ride? How did they compare?
Again, it was night and day. It's like the BMW was tighter, right? Everything was screwed and bolted together better than on the Indian. And it's kind of the same on the on a Harley Davidson, though I haven't been in one of those. I think I really upset Harley a long time ago, and I don't want to. Oh, it's scary. Whole nother subject. But, you know, you get this. I think that the people who buy the Indians are looking for a cruiser bike.
Yeah.
They're looking to go back and forth in at Daytona Beach in front of the bar or in Sturgis or something. And mm-hmm. they're not looking for this absolute, fully tightened, fully engineered setup. They want a bike that looks good and is comfortable. And certainly the Indian Scout 101 is, it was comfortable to sit in. It was night and day. So.
Well, I guess, you know, like you say, for a different customer, they might just want a cruise and they want a vintage look and vintage feel. And other people might want more sporty, more tuned, more precise, you know, for handling. So,
yep. Yeah. Yep. And, more power to them. I'm not saying if you like the Indian, like the Indian. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just a personal preference. But everybody loved looking at that thing. And like I say, every Indian I've ever had was the same deal. So anyway, how about we step up to four wheels? What do you think, Michelle? You want to try the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid?
Oh, yes, because did you know that the Subaru Crosstrek is getting awesome reviews for this year?
Subaru is just doing gangbusters. They can do no wrong.
Right. Their safety features are getting stepped up. So the IIHS is happier with them. Their customer satisfaction ratings are really climbing, just unprecedented climb up. And
they always have been. They are. It's like the SUV that isn't an SUV. It's still, they're all, just about all of them are like wagons. Mm-hmm. And so they're, you don't look like everybody else who has an SUV if you get a Subaru.
Yes. And you know, that's my third car. My daughter and I, she has it in Michigan.
Oh, good.
And
Michigan's perfect because it's snowing like crazy.
Exactly. So I asked her, it was 2 degrees yesterday. I asked her, did you go to school? Yes. Did it start? It didn't want to, but it did. Now, today it was 20 degrees. And she said it started right up.
Oh, so it's happier.
It is happier. Can you blame the poor thing, though? I mean, 2 degrees.
I think in some states, Colorado, Vermont, maybe the Upper Peninsula, Michigan, it's a legal requirement that you have a Subaru. Is that, you're our lawyer, our attorney. Is that true,
that
Michelle?
That is not true.
That's what? It's not?
It's not true.
And there's no legal minimum number of stickers you have to put on the back glass, Metolius, Black Diamond. You're opening my eyes. This is so great to have a lawyer on there. On the show. So anyway,
that's hilarious. Yeah.
This is the third generation of the Crosstrek Hybrid. It's a 2026 model. They've had previous hybrids. This one is a, like the others, is a 2.5 liter flat four with two electric motors. Altogether, they make up 194 horsepower. We don't have pricing. We don't have an EPA number yet because it's coming out later in the year. It sounds promising. The 2.5 liter, of course, is an Atkinson cycle, which just means that it operates more efficiently at slightly higher RPM, because at the lower RPM, the movement forward of the vehicle is taken up by the electric motor, which, as you know, gets 100% of its torque as soon as it starts moving. So, you know, we used to say at zero RPM, someone would always writing at zero RPM, there is no torque. Okay, at 0.001 RPM. Yes. So the Subaru calls it a series parallel hybrid. That means the system can power the car via the electric motors alone, albeit for short distances, with internal combustion plus the hybrid. And depending on conditions such as state of charge, power demand, etc., on the internal combustion alone. Effectively, it's a starter generator, the two electric motors. One is a starter generator, and the other one is the electric traction motor. So those two electric motors combine with the internal combustion motor, and you get, you know, Subaru's symmetrical all-wheel drive system. Did you have any idea what symmetrical all-wheel drive means, Michelle?
Nope.
I looked it up. It's just, it's a little bit more efficient because engine, the flat four, is, again, split hairs on this if you must. But anyway, we'll get into it later because we are out of time. Everybody, stick around for Jim Dawson, now taking over the great music show that comes after us. And we will see you next week here on The Car Show.
Coming up this week on LA Theater Works.
A scientist named Eunice Newton Foote made groundbreaking discoveries about the greenhouse effect in the 1850s.
Don't you want to be recognized?
I want to have my name engraved over the entrance to Yale College. Is that too much to ask?
Circumstances affecting the heat of the sun's rays by Amanda Quaid. Next time on LA Theater Works.
That's this Sunday evening from 10 p.m. until midnight. LA Theater Works right here on KPFK.
Oh no, my car broke down. and this is quite unfortunate.
If that old junker in your driveway is a lost cause, get rid of it and help KPFK out in the process. It's as simple as calling 877-KPFK-AUTO and asking the operator to assist you in arranging for a pickup. We'll tow it away and we'll mail you all the necessary paperwork for writing it off of your taxes. Call us now at 877-KPFK-AUTO.
Oh no, my car broke down. That's so terrible. That's quite unfortunate. My stupid car doesn't work anymore.